Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 5, Number 11. In the last edition of SNU, I discussed the beneficial effects of pantothenic acid, or vitamin B5. This essential nutrient, known also as the anti-stress vitamin, can help offset the effects of stress, weakness, and low energy. It has a great application when dieting for competition and, based on clinical data, has a solid reputation for treating obesity, inflammation, and various forms of adrenal exhaustion. On this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to discuss the concept and importance of QC, otherwise known as quality control, as it relates to the manufacture and preparation of dietary supplements. Quality control relates to a system for verifying and maintaining a desired level of quality in a product or process, as by planning continued inspection and taking whatever corrective action is required if quality is ever compromised. But the key word here is quality, the Q word. What does quality mean? The word quality literally means an essential characteristic, property, or attribute, the character of something with respect to grade of excellence or fineness. Quality relates to the superiority and excellence of something. But like health, quality can be good or bad. So quality is a state or condition of something. And just like health, you don't really know if the quality is good or bad unless you put it to the test. Quality is one of two words that I emphasize throughout the CSNA education program, almost on every page. The other is balance. So those two words, quality and balance, how important are they? If you respect and understand both and have these two concepts nailed down in your life, you're well on your way to achieving excellent health. That relates to the quality of the food you eat, the quality of the friends that you associate with, the quality of your work environment, the quality of your home environment, the quality of the relationship that you have to yourself. And then balance relates to the amount of everything, like on a scale. If you have too much of one and not enough of other, then you fall out of balance. And even if you have quality, too much of a fine thing is not going to be good. So you need the two. They're both dependent and interdependent on each other. Now let's talk about quality as it relates to supplements. False label claims. Now they're really too common in the dietary supplement industry. I have no tolerance for any kind of claim that is not true or taken out of context. If it's not intentional, that's acceptable because mistakes are made. But I don't have any tolerance, absolutely zero tolerance, for anyone or any company that intentionally corrupts the contents of any product or raw material for profit. When a customer fails to receive a legitimate product, the credibility of the entire health food industry suffers. For example, if an athlete tries creatine for the first time, they should expect to see some improvement in strength or sprint speed, especially if they use it correctly and have studied some of the research. And we know benefits of this kind are not unrealistic in terms of consumer expectation, as hundreds of clinical and university studies have demonstrated the power and reliability of this wonderful product. Of course, it is possible to be a poor responder due to insulin resistance. So we have to consider all the variables. In other words, you could take a product of enormous quality and still not respond because of the condition of your own body. But if brand X, which claims to contain pure pharmaceutical grade creatine monohydrate, is diluted or derived from chemically inferior sources or treated in such a way as to reduce the cost of its acquisition by the supplier, which happens, the product will not live up to creatine's reputation. The consumer may lose confidence in the substance rather than in the brand. So they might just paint or whitewash all creatine and say it's useless instead of understanding that that particular brand, it was the brand's problem, not the substance's problem. This damages the reputation of every company engaged in the ethical practice of supplement manufacture and distribution, which, by the way, you can't assume is a concern for every company. Unfortunately, that's the way the world is. By analyzing the research and interacting with several raw material suppliers and their chemical engineers all over the world, I have learned that the synthesis of creatine and the engineering methods used to precipitate, extract, and filter it are not identical in all cases. Production methods are often proprietary. Individual company policies and operating standards are frequently self-imposed, and GMP, or Good Manufacturing Practice Standards, vary from country to country. This distinction regarding the grade, quality, and bioavailability of the raw material is not clearly understood by retailers or consumers. Like coenzyme Q10 or tryptophan, not all creatine is created equal or treated equally once it gets into the hands of certain distributors. In Optimum Sports Nutrition, Dr. Colgan warns the consumer about the fraudulent practice and intentional deception of many sports nutrition suppliers. He cites an evaluation of 257 vitamin brands purchased from pharmacies, grocery stores, and health food stores. Only 49, or 19%, passed. Bill Phillips, author of the Sports Supplement Review and Body for Life and founder of Muscle Media Magazine, tested 6 different HMB supplements purchased in health food stores. None of the products he had tested contained any of the active substance. Now, I mean, that's bizarre. Not one of 6 HMB supplements had any HMB in it. Imagine the people that were taking the HMB. Now, that's completely, totally what I consider to be a ripoff. Dr. Vero Tyler of Purdue University analyzed 54 ginseng products. Only 32, or 59%, contained any of the active ginsengosides, which is precisely what you're after in Panax ginseng. The Colgan Institute investigated 21 different companies. Only 2 of them, or 4%, were able to pass Colgan's assessment based on quality control procedures and expertise in the field. Clearly, there is a problem. And the problem is not with the technology. The problem is with the people who control the technology. Quality control is not just a problem with supplements. The Federal Drug Administration tested the accuracy of nutrition labels on 300 of the most popular foods in the United States. In one example, the amount of cholesterol labeled was accurate only 80% of the time. Over half the foods analyzed contained less vitamin A than listed, and only 9% of the food labels correctly identified the actual amount of iron present in the food. And of course, this is not a problem unique to America. Dr. Michelle Brill Edwards, a former senior regulator for Canada's Health Protection Branch, publicly stated after her resignation that very little actual analysis of the product, including both drugs and supplements, is performed on the basis of consumer protection. She referred to what actually happens regarding safety procedure, quality control, and product analysis as a paper process. You pay the fee, and before you know it, your product is out in the market and it's never even actually been assessed or tested by the enforcers. And that's unbelievable. Quality control is not only a function of law, compliance to GMP and industry policy, it also reflects the integrity and commitment of every manufacturing company involved in the chain of supply and demand, regardless of size, numbers of staff, or revenue generated. Achieving excellence in quality control must be a top priority, a mandate set forth by every company. This means corners are not cut for the sake of profit, and every batch of raw material, whether purchased from local sources or from abroad, must be quarantined and analyzed before it is converted to supplement form and shipped out the door. Let me tell you a story about quality control. We received a batch of whey protein isolate from a supplier in the U.S., and we analyzed it as we are supposed to. It's supposed to be quarantined and then analyzed before you put it into your buckets. Okay, so we find out that it's well below the industry standard of 90%, which is what whey protein isolate is supposed to have, 90% protein. Anything less than that, and there's a forgiveness of 2%, is acceptable. So it had something like 84% protein. So we phoned the company up and said, we tested your batch and it's not meeting the standard. And they said, okay, well, send it back. But the problem is that they had no other whey protein isolate to send to us at the time, so we were stuck. We had no other sources because at that time there was a whey protein shortage. So what do we do? Do we put it in the containers and not tell anybody? No, that would be deceitful. So what we did is that we created a new label and called it a whey protein concentrate, which it now became, which was true, and we pumped that onto the market and told our story. But did you know that I know of other suppliers that would have done and have done what we didn't do? They would have taken that whey protein, put it into the buckets, and sold it to consumers, and they never would have known, except that some of them would have got gastrointestinal disorders and upset because of the high lactose or the higher amount of lactose that is in a concentrate versus an isolate. And this goes on all the time, because when it comes down to it, most companies, or some, are not committed to health. They don't take the products themselves. They're just in it for the money. And unfortunately, again, that's the way it is. Commitment to quality is really a promise, a kind of personal guarantee from the head honcho, the CEO, the guy at the top. So if you ever have a recurring problem with quality, remember this, a fish stinks from the head down. Problems with quality control, unless they are purely unintentional, are a direct reflection of the integrity and character of the people who call the shots, namely the people who own, manage, and run the company. A reputation for outstanding quality is one of the highest virtues attainable in any business and is perhaps the most admirable characteristic any company can achieve. It certainly is one hallmark of fame. Once the consumer is sold on the quality of a certain brand name, they tend to remain loyal to that particular brand. As we all know, people love to talk, and eventually reputation for quality is passed around by word of mouth, surpassing the impact of any marketing plan, no matter how elaborate or sophisticated. Quality control is governed from the top, controlled by management, and put into motion by employees who have a sense of pride in their work. Quality control, therefore, also depends on the welfare and treatment of every company employee. When there is a problem with product quality control, there is almost always a problem with employee quality control. If you don't treat employees with respect and quality, they can and often do find ways to sabotage the product they produce out of bitterness or lack of concern. If the people who make the product are treated poorly, what does that say about management? Remember the saying, the bitterness of poor quality lingers on long after the sweetness of low price wears off? As consumers, quality should reign in our hearts and in the logic of our minds. Those who put price above quality get exactly what they pay for. When quality control is executed according to law and done right, it is a pleasure to behold. If I'm doing business, for example, with a supplier, I need to personally inspect and validate their quality control standards. I want to know what it is that they're up to. I want to meet the guy that's in control. That's how I judge quality. I want to examine things like the blending procedure, encapsulation, screening, polishing, scanning, bottling, and labeling. I want to see how and where the raw materials are received and then inspect the finished tablets, capsules, powders, and liquids. How else can you really know whether or not what is being done is true to form? The process, when done right, is quite extensive. Let's examine the blending process, for example. First, there is the operator's attire, including things like, is he wearing or is she wearing a hairnet, a lab coat, mask, gloves, and shoes? Believe it or not, people buy raw materials, or at least they used to, and pack them into bottles and containers in their garages. Obviously, the operator's attire who works directly with the raw materials must be clean and sterile. This is stuff that you're going to eat. Before the blending process begins, the following protocol known as pre-startup should be followed. You compare the batch card with released raw materials in room for correct ingredient, potency, compound, lot number, and sufficient quantities. You calculate theoretical weight for accuracy. You inspect the equipment and tabletop for cleanliness. You check that the room is clean, dry, and well lit. You inspect the containers and raw materials for adulteration or any damage. You record the room temperature and humidity and ensure that they fall within the specific range. You check that the dust collection system is on. You check that the door is tagged with correct batch number. Only one batch is to be blended at a time so that they don't cross-contaminate. There are no exceptions. Another component of this process is called regular monitoring. During this time, activity in the blending room is recorded every half hour. Finally, there is what is called the post-blend procedure. During this time, the blend powder is checked for homogeneity, meaning to check that it is composed of parts or elements that are all of the same kind. All calculations are checked, including yield, and finally, the blending documentation needs to be checked to ensure that it is complete and within specifications. Other procedures include encapsulation, screening, polishing, scanning, bottling, labeling, and the receiving of raw materials and finished tablets and liquids. All require a similar number of checks and records to ensure product quality. Thus, in this example, a total number of between 185 and 245 quality control checks were made to ensure product quality. This standard exceeds industry standards and receives an A+ rating. When it comes to choosing a supplement that you're going to put in your body, add to your protein shake, or possibly give to your children, is there anything besides safety that is more important than quality? Do you see how the two are interrelated? Quality is numero uno in my books, and without knowing in advance if the quality is reliable and true, I won't even consider touching the product. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from William A. Foster, a U.S. Marine who was awarded the Medal of Honor for risking his life above and beyond the call of duty during World War II. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. It represents the wise choice of many alternatives.